It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us today on Abounding Grace. This week, we're going to consider the two subjects together that no one really ever likes to talk about, but very important in our day, and that is religion and politics. You've seen on the political scene, probably in Canada and America, we've had elections, we have new people going to be installed soon. And really, the question for Christians at this moment in the political scene are numerous. There are numerous questions and numerous concerns. And this week I want to look at Romans chapter 13 that deals with these great subjects, the relationship between Christians and the state and how we are to maintain ourselves and what is God's design. So we're asking the question today, what does God expect? We really do come to this section in Romans chapter 13 at a crucial moment, at least in the American political scene. For months, we've witnessed on the news downright dirty politics and defamation of character to elect our new leaders. Christians, of course, have been extremely confused by this whole process. The fact is that right now, many Christians in this country are afraid. They're afraid of losing their former way of life. They're afraid of losing their freedoms. And most of all, they are afraid that someday maybe Amendment 1 would be tampered with. That Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble. The concern, of course, is legitimate at every point. But the overarching reason for this fear and confusion isn't so hard to understand. Looking at it from the different viewpoints of Christians and their relationship to the culture, we, of course, today are Americans. And as American Christians, we are bent on achieving our Christian ideals through transforming the culture. And I ask the question, you see, if Christianity is just about transforming society into something distinctively Christian, I can understand why people are fearful of Christianity and even why people in Christianity today are afraid. Because really, the church is failing to reform or transform things into its own ideals. I mean, you have all these things getting legalized and great movements today that are happening that really are against Christian morality and conviction. We have new leaders that support these things. What are we to make of this? And that really becomes the crucial issue in the text today. What is our mission as the church, and what is the mission of the state? Why did God ordain both? If the church's mission, let's say, all along was to transform the culture, why didn't God make them one to begin with? The consequence, of course, of not understanding this is huge. If it is the church's mission to transform the culture and become, as Charles Finney said, a society of moral reformers, then what do you think will become the predominant mission of the church? Well, that's not so hard to solve. We saw that in the last election with the Reverend Wrights of this country. The mission will become moral, and the mission will become political, and the focus reinvented. For instance, in the election, a whole bunch of churches banded together and decided to defy the IRS and say they were going to endorse political candidates. That okay? It's not so hard to see the consequence of this transformationalist ideal, because when this happens, well, the mission of the church will look a lot like the agenda of either the Republicans or the Democrats. In other words, this is what I'm saying. The story of the cross, Christ and Him crucified, is replaced with trying to create a utopian Christian order in this world. In other words, a Christian nation. And that, by necessity, can only be achieved with the motto of Rick Warren, deeds and no creeds. Political reform and not gospel reform. My friends, all of this raises these questions today. If you haven't understood where I'm going with this, these are the questions. What is our responsibility to the civil government? And what is its responsibility? What is their purpose? Should that be distinct from the mission of the church? Should, for instance, we want prayer in public schools? Is there such a thing as a, quote, Christian nation? Should I endorse political candidates from the pulpit? What about the church's role? Should they be fighting against certain causes in the community, whether it be casinos going up or alcohol or whatever? Should we picket abortion clinics? Tough questions, right? These are very hot-button subjects that people are dealing with today. The real question today is, what does God expect from His church and from the state? How does He expect us to carry forward in a hostile times in which we're living in two kingdoms, especially when we see the world getting worse and worse? Turn on the news and see what's going on in California and so on and so on. All these things that continue to happen. It just seems that things are getting worse and worse. Well, the outline that I'm working through this week is really a simple one. The Apostle Paul here is telling us as Christians how to respond to the governing authorities. And then he gives us reasons for doing so. And what I'm going to make the case is today is that we are to be good citizens, maintaining our cause and our kingdom, since there are two separate kingdoms with two separate mandates. If we understand this, it would alleviate fear and understanding that God is in control of both kingdoms. The one kingdom is redemptive and the other is civil, each with its own mandate. Now, in Romans chapter 13, the context here is important. This is the gratitude section. He has gone through all the heavy doctrine. He's talked about guilt and grace and what Christ has done on the cross to propitiate the wrath of God. And it really is sort of radical Christian living. God confronts us, our ideals, and confronts us to rip out the innate desire to be our own little gods, controlling our lives for our own glory and not His. And so he has outlined here genuine Christian living as a response of gratitude for being saved by Christ's atonement, being justified by faith. Well, in the first section, we're called to use our gifts and to love our fellow Christians. This is Romans 12 radically. And then he went on to say, God says, I expect that same kind of beneficent love to be shown to your enemies, even to those on the outside who actively pursue hostility against you. Now that's the connection today. Paul had said, love your enemies, and then he takes that call right into authority structures in our lives, to love even those in our lives who are pursuing hostility. Well, that's directly addressed tonight in our lives, that God has ordained all authority structures for our own good. Listen to verse 1. We read, this is Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. What a commandment from the Lord, right? Let every soul be actively subject, brought under firm control, submissive, obey, subject oneself to the higher authorities over us. Let everyone do this. That is so countercultural and counterintuitive, isn't it? The command from the Lord is rather solemn, especially as we approach it in a culture whose mantra is question all authority. It comes right out of the 60s, is something that we still deal with today. Question authority. Particularly, of course, he's looking at the political realm, but biblical exegetes have always understood this as applying to every single authority structure that is over us. The striking thing here is how all-encompassing is the command. Let every soul be subject. And then he goes on, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Did you hear it? There is and never has been any governing authority that has not been appointed by God. In whatever form of authority over you, from the president to the police officer to your boss to your elder, all of them are appointed by God, and He solemnly commands submission. And how far do we take that, right? Recently, a pastor called upon people to pray for the new president-elect. That's something expressly commanded in 1 Timothy 2. here was the response. There's nothing about our new president-elect that I respect. In my opinion, he's deceptive. I will not pray against him, but I cannot yet pray for him. I cannot support his agendas, and I will not, I don't even know his character. I will not pray for him. The question is, my friends, is that right as Christians? Look, I want you to remind you here the context in which this comes to us. Paul's writing to the Romans. In this church, you have Jews and Gentiles. For the Jews, this would have almost been unthinkable to have a pagan ruler. Remember, they were looking for the reinstatement of a theocracy. That is why every Jew was looking for a political Messiah to break down Roman rule. In fact, in John 6, the Jews tried to do this with Jesus. They wanted to make him king for this reason and restore the kingdom to Israel in a theocracy where the government and worship and culture are all one. And that's the question that the disciples asked Jesus in Acts 1 after the resurrection. Are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you now going to break down all this Roman oppression? In a theocracy is when the state and church are one, directly under God's government. They were concerned about that. They had a pagan king now. And these Gentiles, of course, had come in from all this paganism. What does God expect of the Christian's relation to the government? And here the Lord is telling us, if Christians would listen and the world would hear, we're not offending citizens. We support you out there. The Lord commands submission to the governing authorities, and we are to give that. Now, there are a lot of questions that come with this, and there are a lot of what ifs. Hold those what ifs. We're going to get through them this week. We're going to go through what the Lord commands of us and what is his design. But I want to give you this sense of it. In a day of culture wars where there seems to be such warfare between the religious people and the secular authorities, we want to look at this week, what is God's design? And ask, are these two kingdoms supposed to be in opposition? My friends, God calls us to submit to the governing authorities as unto him. He's sovereign. He ordained all governing authorities for good. And I think of Christ. You know when he was beaten? He did not open his mouth. When he was tormented and subjected to the torments on the cross, you know he could have put a stop to it, but he died for us and says he has left us an example. Sure, we never go against what the Word of God says. But at the end of the day, our kingdom is not of this world. As Paul said, our citizenship is from heaven as we eagerly wait for the Lord of glory to return.
This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We thank you for joining us. As always, it's a real privilege and a delight spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments of any kind, or maybe even a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or write to us, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. Or you can visit our website and drop us an email at lindenurc.com. In fact, we have a lot of information there, including directions if you would like to join us for worship. lindenurc.com. Now, if you're writing to us using U.S. Mail, you can do so at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, that also serves as our place of worship. If you'd like to join us, again, you're more than welcome. The offer is always open to you. Call us at 360-318-0429 for directions, or simply, again, go to our website, lindenurc.com, for those directions. And then we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.